listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So let me continue some ideas in a new way in the second hour. 800-866-8883, the lines are open. And this is a talk show. I don't want to be pontificator. I don't want to pontificate. I would like to share with you what I know. But the first person on this program wasn't appropriate, really, even though I work with him. He's just a mess of all his own things, destroying, self-destructing. And so I've invited him back tomorrow. He's listened to me for 25 years. It started off to be good, and then he backed away. And then got worse for 25 years, and now he's stuck again. And it was the reason for it was ambition, meaning creating his own way, having lost it somewhere along the line, which we had a discussion about. But I didn't get it to him, and he's going to call tomorrow. I'll give him a chance to think about a few things, but he's too busy giving me too much. And I've got to stop him at certain places, and he runs around it. And I'm looking for people who really want to get better. And when I was watching Nova on memory, if you look for that, I think it's the memory snatchers or something that comes under that kind of title. You see a person, a psychiatrist or psychologist, at Pretty Lady, I suppose that's part of the reason why some of you watch it. So if people have a fear of anything, they have a tarantula, and all she does is make them touch the tarantula. And if they can overcome the fear, they've overcome their fear. So their life, I suppose, begins to start again. But that's only dealing with a symptom. And it works. And they also show that a psychologist can actually imprint false ideas in the head and make them believe they committed a crime. That is what the communists can make you do, make you admit to a crime you didn't admit. And if anybody would like to talk to me about that, because it could be happening to you. It's 800-866-8883, Monday through Friday, at 6 p.m. weekdays to 8 p.m. Okay? All right, now. So with this respect of the false memories, that's not healthy. Because there has been in the past, I remember, psychiatrists who learn how to do that is to really take advantage of the victim to accuse his father or anybody they are given to hate. Because you can actually give a person to hate. You could be given a person to hate. That could be me. The media could do that to you just by because you're conditioned to the news. Like the slug that I was talking about. More people than other good people have a very slim chance of survival, but they will if they really know how they're dealing with it. There's more unfulfilled people than there are fulfilled people, and the fulfilled person stands out like a light, and to a lot of people that's beautiful. There aren't too many. There was Ronald Reagan, and well, that is the one that comes to my mind because he wasn't a warrior or anything like that, but you can see where he's coming from. He's real. And since then, I don't think we've had a real person. Not even George Bush is a nice guy, but he's just a nice guy. I hope you do better this time, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's pretty obvious. You want a real person who doesn't figure out what he's going to say before he says it. You can tell that. Intellectualism is the problem of the right, you know who I mean, the right and left parties. The Republicans I'm speaking about, of course. And so they're very intellectual. But I want a person who is a person, who's free spirit, and not bound by clever words. Okay? And be effective with clever words, overpower with clever words, and admire because they're clever words, and smoothness. Okay. We'll be right back. 800-866-8883. Who's going to take me on?
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening again, for those who just joined us. We do start at 6, but you don't always, in the top of the hour. But you don't really get it. Some stations give you news, and you got the news about, you know, the recent murder, which was predictable. Okay? And so I don't want to talk about that because everybody else is talking about it. It's time you gather together and say enough is enough, Mr. President. That's all I'm going to say. And then I'll go into my program because I'm not going to succeed in being political with you anymore. I can't. I've predicted all the things that are happening and they will. And you're going to all pay for it for not standing up, for not being Christian enough, and letting him get by saying, this is not a Christian country anymore, and there's no Christian that stood up. Now you're going to stand up because a member of the Supreme Court found murdered in his bed with a cushion over his head, and quickly they gave him, well, they do it when they dress him and put all kinds of preservatives in his body, take out all the blood, Within the day. Can't you see something is terribly wrong? Are you going to let that go? Are you going to let it go like you've let everything go? Are you going to let that go like you let your wife get away with something? See, or your boss get away with something? Because you have learned, programmed not to stand up for peace. And there is no peace. All right. So, I am trying to find bright people. When I say bright people, I do not mean educated people. You could be educated and be appreciative of what I'm saying, because the forces of education, and the reason why I say this, is that education can demoralize you. And so you could be forced or compelled or excited towards being something and then become nothing, but a bunch of words that make people glorify you and worship you and give you a sense of worth that's really worthless. I say to you, there is a way of education such as I am completely immersed into. I am immersed into two things. First, it was hypnosis. That taught me that everybody's hypnotized, and the slug in the ocean that I mentioned in the first part of the show on Nova, it's all about, you know, conditioning and understanding how the mind works in animals and how you can put a mouse with connection to the brain, with a happy experience. Not that you could be very happy with, you know, wires in your brain, but it's a mouse. But if you give it some, if you give it a home and give it lots of food, it's happy. If you let it sit alone in the cage or whatever it is, he's bored. And you can change, when you change, you've got a computer connected to that mouse or rat, then immediately he remembers what being happy is, even though there's nothing there to be happy about. See? And then turn him off and he's unhappy again, because he remembers the unhappy time. So there's a kind of memory. And so Pavlov did the same thing with dogs. And I said the same thing, since you are listening for the first time, perhaps. Can be conditioned. You can be conditioned to believe that you committed a crime when you didn't. And in that same Nova article that you should be watching on memory is equivalent to, which is not there, but they're doing it anyway with slugs on the bottom of the ocean, electrifying them and touching them at the same time. And eventually you shock them so many times that when you touch them, you touch them as well as shocking them when you touch the slug. At a certain point, it's developed a defense, a memory, and a reaction against it. So when you touch it without electric shock, it automatically feels like it is a shock. And of course, over the period of years, you know, or hundreds of years, who knows, then it turns that into something else so that it doesn't work anymore because it is the thing. You might call that evolution. Okay, now here we got Johnny here, and we could not talk about slugs anymore, but we can talk to Johnny. Hello, Johnny. Are you there, Johnny? David, is he on? Am I talking to Johnny, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Johnny, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you.
You can hear me okay, I think.
Yes, yes. It's not quite as loud as it was, but I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I spoke to you last week about anxiety.
Yes.
So the thing about it is that I want to discuss something else with you. Okay, I'm trying to make a long story short. My grandfather started a flower business about 125 years ago. And then my father took it over and he passed away. I can tell you I was very mentally ill for a long time.
Yes, depression. Yes.
And I tried to take it over about 2001, and I was so screwed up. I screwed the business up, and I had to close it up. And so I've been delivering pizza and other crap like that, and I've always wanted to be a musician. I was working on that. I had to stop my musician path because I got too mentally ill. I was about 28 years old. I feel like a total failure now. I fucking let my family down, my grandfather, my father down, and I fucking committed suicide.
Now, you were speaking a little bit fast to me.
I'm sorry.
So would you just slow that down a little bit?
Okay. My grandfather started a flower shop.
Yes, I got that. Go ahead.
Okay, my father took it over.
Yes.
In the 50s.
Yes.
So I told you I was very mentally ill, depression, and I was becoming a musician, and things working out.
Wait a minute, you're becoming a magician?
Magician. M-E-S-I-C-I-N, musician.
Oh, musician. Okay, sorry.
Yes, I'm a drummer.
Oh, I see.
So I had to stop everything because I got so mentally ill. I stayed here and became dependent on my parents. My parents passed away. I tried to take the business over, and I tell you that because I wasn't prepared.
Yes, of course you weren't. Yes, I got it.
So I feel like a total failure now. I mean, I had to close up about 5 years ago. I'm delivering pizza and I'm trying to figure out what to do. I don't think God can guide me to what to do with myself to make a living. And also, I feel like committing suicide. I feel like I let my parents and my grandparents down. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know a family. I feel like hell, to be honest with you.
So your family were good to you, but you didn't want to let them down, right?
Well, yeah. The deal is, I feel like I'm a failure because my father did really well with the business, But I wasn't prepared to deal with it, and I screwed it up. And if I could tell a failure now, I was trying to be a musician, and I don't know what to do. I'm so lost. I spent so many years trying to be a musician. That's all I ever wanted to be, and I had to stop because of mental illness. I was like 20 years old.
But didn't this start with a parent, like your mother?
Excuse me, sir?
Didn't that start with a parent? Didn't your insecurity start with your parents? Did your mother, for example, love you too much and dote on you and turn you against your father?
I think so. And also, she had an extreme case of anxiety. It was depression or what it was. I don't know.
She had that, right?
Yes, sir.
And your father?
No, he was solid as a rock. He was an alcoholic, but you wouldn't know he drank. He was not a mean person. He was very nice and very considerate and very productive. He supported the whole family.
But the only thing is, he was a good man, but did not know how to protect you from your mother's anxiety over you.
Right, right.
And so, in what way would you resent your father? Would you not think, if you loved your mother, because if you were sort of addicted to your mother's approval, and because that's children tend to be attached to their mothers, unless the fathers are able to separate them from their mother, so to them with their manly and godly, having authority, okay. Only that can separate you from the Eve in the woman. See, so your father may not understand. Now, for instance, I'm married, and God bless her soul, my wife still doesn't get what I'm saying. 64 years, and she still doesn't get it. And she's suffering from it. But I can't push it down her. You cannot mesmerize a person to do it, because she's already mesmerized because of conditioning since the day she was born. She was born into a household was upside down. So you somehow, I don't know you very well, but so you've taken on the sympathy of your mother. And your father didn't, see, like myself, I'm not able to, when I'm not there 12 hours a day when I'm going to Los Angeles and back, which is a round trip of 130 miles every day to work for many years. And my wife, who is not, you know, sophisticated emotionally as I am, she would influence the kids to this day. There's a certain friction going on. Some of them get it, some of them don't. It's taken a long time. Most of them love their grandpa, but they don't. But their grandchildren get it. The benefit that I have to offer is not my kids so much. It's their kids that seem to get it more quickly than their parents. See, and so you come into the world and you could be infected by the extension of your mother's nature into you, which is not neutralized by the strength of your father, who's just a nice guy who drinks a lot. Would you say that he doesn't see him drinking so much, but still he has to drink to block his conscience because he doesn't know how to deal with your mother, for which reason she's anxious because she needs love and he can't give it to her. But he's just a nice man. And so the influence you have is your mother. And she, okay. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes. And so you have a love-hate with your mother. And you tend to be addicted to your mother's approval. Are you married?
No, I wish I was.
How old are you?
64.
So you're really afraid of women?
No. I got so mentally ill, I just worked my job. I came in the house, I became totally antisocial.
But your mother was mentally ill.
Yes.
See, so you've been in, now. Let me ask you a very straightforward question.
Sure.
Now listen very carefully, and I know the answer to this before you say it. Forgive me, but do you love your mother?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Okay, I don't. You're right.
You know what?
I don't know.
You feel up. Is she still alive?
No, they passed away.
Yeah, but How long ago was that?
My mother passed away about 2001. My dad passed away 2006, I believe.
Okay, but now, when your mother was loving you too much, or worrying too much, or pulling you close too much, or giving you stuff when you should be getting it for yourself, which is the reason why you've lost skills. You never had a fight for the skill that you weren't ready to take over that business because you had not skills that was equal to it. A whole series of skills that little children should have and grow with. And so, hold the line a minute. Don't go away. So, Johnny, listen carefully. So, I'm saying that, now, listen carefully and tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But you have a love-hate relationship with your mother because she mothered you into being dependent on her approval and did not give you the freedom, robbed you of the freedom to be the man that could be by going through hard knocks and becoming a better person. And therefore, you can look back every time and blame your mother for giving you too much and giving you, and also transferring her anxiety to you for the same reason that she had it. In other words, your mother's still living through you, but it isn't your mother, it's an identity crisis. You're part man and part woman and part devil. No, I mean part Eve, or the spirit of Eve. Is in every woman, and the purpose for it, first purpose for it, I've got something here about this. I'm going to read you the Bible. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Malachi 4. For behold, the day comes that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will stumble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord God of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. This is coming to you. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with the healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and leap and skip like calves released from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be the ashes under the soles of your feet. There it is right there, what I'm teaching you to do. In the day that I do this, said the Lord of hosts. Remember the laws of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him to in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, here's the interesting part. I will send you Elijah, the prophet before the coming and the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, else I shall come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, comments in this article. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children's hearts, the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else I will strike the earth with a curse. So until man has been purified, which I'm reading, which is actually very accurate, the fathers don't really love their children, and the children don't really love their fathers. They love their mothers, or hate their mothers, but the father is sort of non-existing. Otherwise, it would not be necessary for the Lord to make it happen. Filial love is evidently of critical importance. Consider the following from the book of the Bible, originally the King James Version, but still is in the Catholic Bibles. So then you look for this. This is from the internet. I got this from the internet. Somebody sent that to me. But you see, you've never had the healing effect of a noble father. They hardly ever exist, especially in these days. That father quality, that love of freedom was there when I came to America more than almost 70 years. I don't know, maybe up to 70 years ago. I left my hometown. It wasn't 70 years. That couldn't be correct because I'd be 18. Yeah, so it would be less than that. But I remembered America as it began to decline. But there was enough there to say to me, wow, freedom. I can grow, explore, do things. John Wayne was one of my listeners, but he was the one that made me see the beauty of what America was. I liked him, the way he behaved himself. And that is a quality, but often sort of manufactured in movies or replicated, a facsimile of it, that is sort of believable, and you wish you had a father like that and a man like that. See, so what is missing is it can be redeemed by meditating with something I discovered a long time ago. It was the very first few months in the Institute of Hypnosis where I was working with hypnosis, trying to understand what it was. And it is conditioning that cannot be overcome except you are redeemed. And you can only be redeemed when you're fed up with trying to fix yourself and everybody else. And you realize of yourself you can do nothing, just as like Jesus says, of myself I can do nothing. Of the Father within me, he doth it. Why call me good? Only God is good. Then you made God, you made Jesus into God, and then you ruined everything. See? And so, but the thing is about him, he was born perfect, remained perfect, and proved that there was life after death by showing himself momentarily. Don't touch me, it's not completed. That there is a life after death, a continuum. You're not just born to play and go and die for no reason. You have to die for a reason. You have to be tempted for a reason so that you become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yes, now lots of Christians will say, nobody can be perfect. My teacher said that, my rabbi said you can't be perfect. That's not true. You don't need a bloody rabbi or a preacher. You don't need him. He says, if you don't mind me shouting and yelling at you right now, because I want you to be a man. I want to be your dad right now. I want you to buck up your silly ideas and look at the fact that you have a love-hate with your mother. You have a love-hate with your mother, and she's inside you. Or the nature, the snake, whatever it is, the serpent, it's inside you. It's inside every woman. So men have to be very careful how they deal with their women. And they can't be careful unless they've been saved from the woman before he marries her. And then he becomes the head of the household, and God is the head of him, and the head of the wife, and the wife is the head of the children in that order. And until we have that, until we have men, we will have no peace, we will have war. We have all liberals, appeasers like you. You're an appeaser, and you have a woman inside you, and you can't live like that. And the only way you can survive is to look at your mother and blame her for what she's done to you. Blame her, or take the fact that you are no good, and that you never will make a success, which is true until you learn to be still and know your Creator. And the secret of life is crossing the border from the will of the world to the will who created the universe and the world. Okay, so just think about that. I'm not going to go to a therapy session with you today. Just think about that. Don't hate your mother. Okay, so, well, maybe it's just a few minutes before just a few more minutes. May I suggest, hold Johnny just a few minutes, and then we'll take Mary in Georgia, okay? And we're almost finished with Johnny. Johnny, look.
Yes, sir.
Well, before I, hold on a second. I just got to tell my audience, please support the program. That's all I want to say. Support it with your tax-deductible donation. We're a 501c3, which is equivalent status legally as the Catholic Church. I kind of like the Catholic Church, except I don't like the statues, because you're not supposed to have statues or images made in stone of Jesus, especially Jesus. There's something wrong with that. Otherwise, it's pretty good religion. It's okay. So, but anyway, I just want to now continue. Let me give you the address. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. That's if you want to send a check. If you want to do it in any other way, you can go to my website, fhu.com, and then what's the way you do it electronically, David? I always forget it. Are you there, David? What is the electronic way you can help the foundation? Auto debit. I always forget it. Bad memory for that. I have memories for all the good things except the side people, bits and pieces. That doesn't seem to belong, but it does in this case. That's the way we reap some harvest, you see. And we appreciate your support. Thank you. And you can go to my website if you wish, fhu.com. Now, let's go back to Johnny and just ask you a few questions to ask him. Johnny.
Yes.
That's you, okay. What did you hear me say that meant something to you?
Basically, loving with my mother and...
Is that so?
I heard. Yeah, I think so.
Well, as you see, the hate turns to guilt, and the guilt turns to need for a mother's approval. And mother's in the ground, and you're in the ground with her. But let's say you transferred your loyalty, to compulsive loyalty to death, and the spirit, and dying with the spirit in the ground of your mother, who may never have gone to heaven or whatever that is. What if it was Jesus who came from heaven, and you loved him, and you saw the good in him, and in seeing the good in him, you accepted what was in him in exchange for what your mother gave you when you were a little kid and did not know how you were being programmed to be a failure. That's it is, she couldn't help it herself. So therefore, forgive your mother, let it go. Realize she couldn't help what she was doing, and your dad didn't know what to do. He was just a nice guy, it's not good enough. It's got to be a man. And that woman needed a man, but he wasn't there. The real man was just a figure of a man and drank his flaws away. So that even though he's a decent guy, decent doesn't do it. You understand that, Johnny?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you could love the Jesus in me, if you can hear him and feel like it's a breath of fresh air, that's all you need. No more. And it's not me talking to you. Okay? You'll be all right. All goes away.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, here I am again. We're going to go to Mary Had a Little Lamb. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Mr. Masters.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Very good. I called you maybe 5 or 6 months ago, I don't know. And I was completely hysterical. I just couldn't settle myself down at all. And you told me I was angry. And I said, no, I'm not angry. I'm scared. Oh, how right you were. I started using the stress,
The 7 minute one?
No, you put the earphones
in. Oh, yes, I get it. Yes.
It gives you the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole gishmere. Yes, I got it.
I started listening to that a lot and meditating with it. And the big thing that was such a revelation to me was that I wanted to be good. And I wanted to be good.
But you didn't know how. You didn't know how.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was busy. I was myself. I had all kinds of ideas. We argued in my head back and forth, and you can try this and you can try that. And then finally, it just came. Mary, shut up and listen.
That's beautiful.
That's exactly what happened. Just shut up and listen. And I listened, and I heard nothing, but I saw...
Everything.
No, not everything, but
it is everything if you add it up each day. Into the future. It's always seeing every day something a little bit more. Something more about yourself, and something more about others and the world. And yeah. It's a beautiful journey.
Now, I'm just enraged with my parents and what they did to my brother.
Tell me what they did to you.
Oh, dear.
And get it off your chest. Just get it off your chest for once and for all. And you'll be okay.
All right, this is going to be bad.
I'm listening, don't worry. I won't judge you.
I was three. I was little. And my brother he's 11 months younger than I am. And he was still sleeping in a crib. But I used to be awake, just a very awake child. I just knew everything that was going on. And I didn't know what was the matter with my father, but I know, I guess I found out pretty quick that he was a sex addict. And he was a very, very strong man, except with my mother. Because, you know,
yes, they do.
She could give the sex. Well, I put on my little pink bathrobe and I was in the hall, and there was trouble in their room, but I really didn't know what was going on. And she ran down the hall and she grabbed me and pulled me into the bed in the spare bedroom with her. And he came running after her and jumped in the bed and was screaming at me to get out, to go back to my room, to get out. But she had my arm in a vice clamp, and I couldn't move. And he raped her right there and was yelling at me the whole time, and she wouldn't let go of me.
Is that it? Is that it?
Then when he was done, he went just immediately went to sleep, was snoring, and
like an animal.
She started to fall asleep, and she let go of me. So I went back to my own room and got into the bed and lay looking at the wall.
And how did that affect you? As if I didn't know. But you got to say it. How has it affected you all these years?
Well, I didn't know it. You know, I mean, I knew. Kind of. But I never let myself think about it.
So you buried the memory?
Yeah, it would peek through every now and then. But I just pound it back down. That's nothing.
All right, but how is it? Are you married?
I have been, but I'm by myself now.
And what was your behavior that brought that about?
I hated my husband. He.
Did you pick a man that was weak or strong?
He was strong.
You picked a man who was strong. And why would you do that, knowing what strong means?
I don't really know.
But you needed to continue the judgment on your father upon somebody else. That is the way it works.
Yeah.
So let me make a point.
Yeah.
I'll make up a story, which is true. So a little girl got raped when she was 12, 13 years old. And she hated the villain who did it, naturally, of course. But it happened so many times that it became a necessity to bring him down by giving him the drug of sex that women are able to give, and therefore overcome him and make him worse, make him more hungry for you, and turn him into the man that your father was, but to be stronger above him, which is rarely the case or can be the case. Now, let's assume that you're a little girl that has forgotten the terrible conditioning, the terrible thing happened as a child. She does not know does no longer remember it, but she's become that person I described. And so she unconsciously finds an innocent man, a decent man, that she could manipulate, but she doesn't know all this. And so that he has sex with her properly, but to her there is no properly. It's a dirty old man. So what she's done, in a manner of speaking, what she's doing, she's taking a person weaker than herself, who's decent, that wouldn't even hurt her, and make herself seem like a really wonderful person to be a wife, which she's not. But all this is happening without her knowing this. She's literally really looking like he loves this person, but something inside her wants to capture this innocent man and destroy the innocence as you would. The innocence was destroyed. You got to do that to a man. See, so this person does that. And one day he's having sex with his wife, with her permission, with her invitation, which was excessive, which tends to be okay with most men, but not realizing he is being programmed to love her too much, to need her approval and the pleasures that come with it. And all of a sudden she'll cry, "Rape!" And there's no rape. And the man goes to jail. And then I don't know what she feels after that, because that's a true story for a lot of women. Follow?
Yeah.
Now do you understand what I'm saying? Why it's important to get it off your chest?
I do.
And that's why your marriage went astray. You tried to be a better person. In your case, he tries to be a better person. But could it be that you picked a nice man and messed him up?
I don't know.
Could you give it a guess? Could you, having given you some choices, which one would you choose, if any?
He was very nice before we got married.
A nice guy, right? But before he got married, but he's not afterwards.
Right.
What happened?
What
happened? What happened is that you did not know you were doing it. Any more than your mother was doing it and did not know she was doing it.
Yeah.
She didn't know she was making a beast out of that man by giving him sex, 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 until he goes crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it hurts. That's how mad it becomes.
He became, I don't know how this happened or where it came from, but it very quickly after we got married, I mean, he would set goals. You have got to do this, and it's got to be done by such and such a time. And I said to him one time, you're just not happy unless you've got me upset, because I've never been a real, you know, set the goal, work with work. Just.
And so, but what about the sex?
Then I began to really hate it.
And then did that produce a sexual relationship each time to ease the tension?
Well, he was trying, but I sure wasn't going to cooperate.
So you reacted.
Yeah.
You rejected it. And
yeah.
in that rejection, his choice was to try harder to overcome your objection.
Yeah.
But you're not the person to give in, so you got divorced or you separated?
Yeah, he went over to Thailand.
Okay, and now I'm telling you this. How old are you now?
I'm 69.
Good Lord.
So you'll be 70.
Are you able to take care of yourself financially?
So far, so good.
Are you skillful at anything?
I was a critical care nurse for 30, 35 years.
And are you retired now with an income?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do in your waning years. I'm 88. I'm old enough to be your dad, aren't I? Basically.
I wish you were.
Well, I could be, though. I mean, I do have something in me, I hope. That
yes,
is dad-like.
I hear it.
Yes, you hear it. And so you can't say you've heard a dad, because I am him, even if it's only just a little while, it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's in me is more than enough for me. And as I speak to you, it should be all the need you need to have. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Let me suggest that you're meditating, you're beginning to feel more free and not looking for love in all the wrong places, I hope. Because if you're looking for love still, and it's in the form of a man, you see, the only man that really you're looking for is spiritual, and he has passed into the other realm, but leaving his mark upon the earth through people such as myself. See that?
Yes.
And so we are the extensions of him, as you should be extension of me, or him in me. And so I'm asking you to let your mother and father go, and your husband, if he was a husband, let them go, because none of you knew what you were doing, but now you do. And you have by backing away and not being spiteful to the person, because you could have said... You could have said rape and put him in jail like a lot of women do.
Oh, see? Yeah, I could have.
You could have done, that's right. But you didn't.
No.
And you sort of gave up on anger on him. I hope you've given up on him, because all your mother's been set up, your grandmother's set up, your great-grandmother, it all goes through one man's sin, and death through sin spread like a disease. So you weren't born guilty. You didn't come into the world, but you feel guilty, and because you are exposed to the guilt of others projected onto you.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother couldn't help it. Your father couldn't help it. They went crazy and died.
Yeah.
It says honor your mother and father, but it doesn't say you have to like them. It's honor the fact, just honor them that you came through the world. That's the being through which you came into the world. And that's enough. So yeah. Forgive your father first, because he was mad. He did not understand.
I am so close to just really letting it go.
Let me give it to you right here, right at the spot. I said very clearly, I hope, that you were forgiven before you were born. The redemption awaits you when you were born. And you were put on a path to realize how wrong it is and try to right it for yourself, but you can never do this. And now it's time to stop and realize you have been redeemed. You only have to collect it. Take my word for it. Trust what I just said, and you will be free.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, my purpose here is to help Americans to become Americans again and become virtuous. Whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim, I don't care what you are. You know there's only one Creator and one Redeemer. And some say two, but clearly it's one. Not so clear to the others, if you know where I'm coming from, mentioning no particular group of people. But there's another God that's upside down, like ISIS. See, upside down. And you are partially upside down by birthright or birth wrong. You understand what I'm saying, Mary? Is Mary still... You do understand it, meaning, can you see that of yourself you could do nothing, even as Jesus said the same thing? That you have no need that any man teach you or anything like that, remember
absolutely,
that?
I tried that.
Then give up trying, because of yourself.
Nowhere.
Of yourself, you can't give yourself, but you cannot give it to yourself, you don't need to, because you've been already redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
Already blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, your father was redeemed but didn't get it. They died. Your mother had redemption, but she never got it. Not many people do. But they give birth to people who can do. So the people who can't do it breed other people who can't do it, but breed also a mistake, which is the beautiful lady I'm speaking to, Mary.
Oh, no.
You're free. Just let your parents go. They couldn't help what they're doing, nor could you in your doing. But you know that's a program that enlightenment dissolves. Let it dissolve now, this minute. Would you please? Do I hear a yes? Do I? Do I hear a yes? Did you understand by it's waiting for you? Close your eyes, okay? And do a meditation state, meaning look at your eyelids. Are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now just bring your attention to the first finger. Well, look at your eyelids, but you're seeing the surface of your brain, so you're separate from your carnal self, separate, so you can see thought if you want to, but you, right now you don't want to see all your thoughts. You want to be enlightened. You want to be still and let light catch up from your endless loop of thought, negative, struggling, futility, struggle. So keep your eyes closed, look at your eyelids and see the little sparkles crossing the screen of your mind. And be aware of the first finger, the second finger. Can you feel it tingling? Because that's an answer to a prayer. The energy flowing into your first finger and your second finger, and then both hands and all over the body sooner or later. You'll feel awareness of your existence. And the awareness of your existence will become a light. that you will not be able to see as a light, but enlightenment. So you'll see the world, and you'll see your mistakes, and you won't get angry at seeing them and won't bury them anymore. And the ones that you buried come to the surface, and you will see that you don't need to be angry at it. That's all. Let it go. And you slowly, every day you live, will be the ability to see something rise that you've buried, some angry situation, something you did compulsively and feel ashamed of. Ashamed no more. Be happy to see what will come to the surface, but do not try anything to come to the surface. Let it come as it will. Let it unfold as it will without your effort. And just wait. And you will see almost immediately that you have relief. Relief from having to fix yourself and fix other people. And as an elderly lady already, you still have a wonderful life before you. Learn to deal with adversary and overcome the tendency to be upset and judge secretly or overtly. Can you do that now? Can you see that it's possible for you to let everything go and see that the world is full of people who are broken like you and do to you without knowing that they do it? See that? And you know what the last words of Jesus says on the cross? Even though he could have got rid of all the pains if he wanted to, but he suffered the pain like every other mortal with his mortality. But in those pains, he didn't hate the hurter. See, evil likes to hurt you, to demoralize you so that you get up and give in, and especially out of guilt or fear. That's how it works. All you have to do is make people angry, and they will own you forever. But they will also be owned until they die, and you will be a slave or one of them till you die, and you don't have to do that anymore. You need to get off the train. You understand me?
I do.
Get off the train.
I do. I'm so ready to jump off the train.
Yeah, but you're jumping into the world where I'm talking to, which I'm talking. Come to me, to where I am, not in me, but look, I'm saying something to you that you recognize. Oh my goodness, he's so simple. How did I miss the simplicity of being still and know? Just for a moment, you could, just moment by moment, you're still. Do you know, as I'm talking to you, the hours are passing like seconds. I'm talking to you. I've been talking for 2 hours. It felt like seconds. You're in a world where you are untouched by the world that's trying to get in you, and you're throwing what was in you out. It's dissolving and disappearing. Do you understand that, my dear Lady Mary? Thank you. That's the end of my hour. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. So how many people understand what I was saying to Mary? You understand once you let go and let God. That's what it means. And meditation will do that. And when you go to Antidote for All, which is a website, and just download the app. That's it. No charge. And if you enjoy it, if you get better, please support the program with your tax-deductible donations. Thank you. Post Office Box 1000. Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Go to the website and find the phone number if you miss it. It's 800-877-3227. Monday through Friday, no weekends. Thank you. God bless you.